Games from the Cellar, the board gaming podcast.
We'll fix it in post.
Purple, please.
That's how everything goes now. You fix it in post. Who needs the pre-work?
Whole movies
soon,
are made in
soon
post.
Soon AI will simply do the job for us. We'll just type in, create a podcast about ghost stories,
I've
and it'll
seen
just
the
happen.
Avengers. AI is already doing it
but
for us.
But how accurate will it be?
Did we talk over each other enough for you,
probably
Chris?
Probably no less accurate than we are.
It allowed me to go through and make sure everybody was on, so we're good. And I've already pressed record. We're 2 minutes in.
All right, perfect. Hey. There we go. A lot of table chatter.
So what do you want to play tonight, Chris?
How about Thunder Road? That was a blast.
I'll
play that. We've already done that.
Okay, so we clean up Ghost Stories and we will put Thunder Road down on the table instead.
After I just read the book?
That's true.
This was a tough book.
I struggled through that book.
Ed
did not seem like a fun
is
time.
Our rules master for this evening. This is Ghost Stories from around like 2008, I think. And I looked it up the last time. When did I say the last time I played was? 2011.
2011.
Yeah. But you guys have played since.
In 2017.
See, so you're pretty recent to
fresh.
The game. That's only 7 years ago.
2008, 2009.
That's when the game was released? Okay. So.
Which I think you probably had it like early on. I mean, this was a game that you brought. We played it. We lost a bunch of times. I think we won one time.
Yeah, I have a few games. I think I have 5 plays for this registered and five sittings, not necessarily 5 plays. But I think my first one was 2009, and we went through 2011. I do recall winning this game at least once.
And it felt great. I mean, I remember it was...
Yeah, because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's and it's there are times where you're, you know, 3 turns into the game, and you're like, oh my God, we are so going to die. I mean, they're just everywhere. So it's going to be curious to revisit this after having so much more experience gaming since then, including some newer cooperative games. I'm not the biggest fan of cooperative games. I guess everybody sort of figured that out by now. But
well, this one is cooperative, so work with us.
Right. So we're going back into the belly of the beast, and let's see what comes of this. But Ed, tell us about the game.
How do we play? What are we looking at here?
So the general principle here is that we are trying to fight off some demon from hell called Wu Feng. He's somehow managed to come back from the dead again, bringing ghosts, attacking the village, and we are 4 Taoist monks here to defend the village from the hell monsters. And the goal here is to get rid of him and not get the village overwhelmed. And so you have some dynamic where you move against the board that surrounds sort of the center tiles, and you exercise the ghosts. Probably have a better grasp on that when the game is played.
So we'll talk about that after the
post-game talk.
All right,
yes.
Ghosts coming from all directions. We got to fight them off until we get to the Wu Feng guy at the end. Kill him. It's just that simple.
It's just
and we win the game.
Except for all the player aid looking up we're probably going to have to do.
100%.
That's fine, but we're going to cut the recording right now.
Yeah, that was...
No, we're dead.
We're all dead.
I don't know about that.
Undead?
We're with the Great Beyond ghosts.
Overwhelmed.
Steven said, good luck. This is a hard one.
He was right.
He was very right.
Even though we tried it a couple times and hopefully figured the rules out right.
By the third attempt, I think we got most of the rules right.
The instruction manual did not help with understanding the rules beyond a very vague sense.
I think it is a very poor translation into English.
Yes. What language do you think it started in?
Chinese.
I don't know. Ghosts are sort of taboo in China.
Got a Chinese theme? You're assuming it's a Chinese story? Or is Chinese game?
I think he's talking about the way that the rule book sentences don't make sense much.
If you look at this, they are very poorly phrased. Words are very commonly out of order.
It's like you see
I would be curious to know what the origin of the game.
Yes.
So
I'm sure we could look it up.
So what are our thoughts on Ghost Stories?
I'm kind of glad I pulled it out.
Yeah, it's
we waited too long to play it again. I mean, if it's going to stay in the library, it's one of those that you kind of need to stay on at least a basic understanding of it, because I feel like, okay, now if we pulled it out again, if we played it a fourth time, we'd have a better chance.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, but... Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd figured out the basic dynamic towards the end.
So why has this gone 10, 12 years without calling out to us?
because it's extremely difficult, even once you understand the rules.
So, yeah. So for, and I'm not a big fan of co-op games, and I don't try to hide that. But what I ran into this evening is the same thing I always generally run into with co-op games. Is, you know, they talk about quarterbacking somebody who wants to take over and force themselves on it. I'm sort of the opposite. I'm like, you know, I can sit here and think about other parts of my life and what's going on, and the other guys will do it for me, and they'll figure out what my optimal move is. And at that point, I don't feel like I'm actively participating. I'm just a guy, and I'm just moving
pushing pieces.
But yeah, and considering what I do for a living, where, you know, I'm trying to deal with making things work that don't necessarily want to work, this feels a lot like work to me. It's a dirge to try and get stuff done. And it's not just Ghost Stories, but that's co-ops in general. I think this one suffers from it a little bit more, just because, you know, if this, then that, but not this, but over this, and then you can do that. And, you know, that kind of stuff just doesn't,
it's unrelenting. It's very, you know, the walls are closing in and you've got to figure it out. And even if you successfully stop one wall, there's another one pushing in, like, now the top's coming down on you.
Yeah.
It just felt like there was no bright time, like, during the game. Like, hey, we're doing really well. Like, we cleared the board. Maybe there was something that could, like, clear the whole board, like, all ghost or something, but no.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, in that I like games that are very challenging, that are constantly, you know, throwing bigger and bigger challenges. But to your point, like, I never felt like I was treading water. It always felt like we were drowning. And I don't know. It wasn't terribly rewarding, right? Like, you want to feel like you have some momentum. But I think the way to John's point generally is that this sort of co-op game where the pressure is so unrelenting essentially requires you to have some optimization, right? And that if there's one wrong move at all, you're doomed.
You start losing progress.
Yeah,
in a game that's so heavily reliant upon dice, right? Like, that, it's almost punishing for a game that requires you to be making optimal moves every single time, to be coming down so much to chance.
I don't gotta be honest with you. I don't think the dice have that big an effect in this game. I mean, you're rolling them, but the cursed die has some pretty solid effect. But
you gotta kill the monsters with the dice.
Well, I know, but it's like, okay, so I got 3 green tokens, and you come over here with me, so you got another green token in reserve, and then it's just a matter of how many tokens. So again, you get back to the optimization problem. And you were saying, by the time we were getting to the end of this game, Ed, you were sitting there saying that, like, my job is to go sit in the middle and just generate tokens, and that's right. All I do, and then I'm in the middle generating tokens, because the token thing just happens to be in the middle on this board. And then whoever needs me, just drag me on over there, because 2 of us can move you, and we can move, you know, we can pre-position you for that kind of stuff.
And that's what we should have done.
Well, and that's great. Now, so at this point, the dice really don't matter, because you're showing up with the 4 green tokens that you need to fight off whatever it is, and then your turn, you move back to them, and you get more.
Yeah, it feels like the optimal way to use dice at that point is to reduce the tokens you're trying to spend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just hope for a couple of breaks. But then at that point, your characters become like these ultra mission specialist, that's what you do, and that's all that you do. And at one point, the one tile I'm sitting on right now, which allows you to move ghosts back, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm pretty much there for the rest of the game, because I need to keep fighting those off in order for us to not have tiles get flipped over. So I'm like, okay, so that's my job in the game, is to sit on this one tile and use its special ability all the time. And then you guys go and kill what you need to kill. And it's fine. And if it was a job I was working at, that would make sense, because we would be getting paid, and it would make sense for me to do that, and you guys would make sense for you to do your specialized stuff. Everybody gets their paycheck and it works out. But when you're playing a game, it's just not terribly adventurous. It's not terribly exciting.
Yeah. But it wasn't something that we needed to do all the time. I mean, hopefully we could have cleared a couple of these ghosts out that kept on coming, that we're having the issues with, and then you could have started moving someplace else.
Assuming you stop drowning in a game that's about drowning. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, I think John's point speaks to the larger one here, in that this game requires you to specialize, right? Instead, you know, it's we're all fighting these individual skirmishes, not getting anywhere, right? Where real, like, legitimately, about halfway through, it should have just been me being moved two places
to help
just,
fight.
Just collecting as many of the, because the ability to roll twice on the two token thing, right? I could have just generated tokens while you guys move to where you need to be, so then I can just keep moving to place each place.
Yeah, you're the little supply, right, that's supply all I, line that's all in I would the be. Back.
Because I think we were doing well when we were winning the battles. There was a couple times we were able to take out two at a corner. Like, I think a couple turns we were able to. Mm-hmm. But then you go through, like, three rolls. I think I did the last two on this yellow one and another one that I did not take out a ghost. And that was a waste of my turn.
Well, and you did not have Ed with four tokens coming along behind you, right, to solve that problem. So,
but I think we all had our turns of, like, taking the lead. Like, hey, let's do this or do this, kind of refocusing what's most important. And I think, like, on my last turn, if I had been able to, if I had thought about going over where John did a turn later, then we would not have had three overrun.
Yeah.
And the game would still be going.
Yeah, we just missed that spot.
At least a little bit longer.
Yeah. But this would be a great solo game.
No.
It is a solo game.
There is a solo rule, and no, I would not
it. Is
touch
a solo
it.
Game.
Yeah, I mean, this could be played, you know, solo.
That's actually an excellent point. This is a solo game.
Yeah.
It's four monks, but one person could easily play all four monks. Because, I mean, it was decision by committee. Yeah. I mean, we just sat
decision
there and
by
said,
committee,
okay.
But also the game dictated a lot of it as well.
Right. Right. So
yeah, the game directs your flow.
Yeah. So, I mean, so at that point, you know, I one of the questions I always ask myself when I play a new game is do I get to put my personality into this play? Does everybody at the table get to bring what they want to do to the game? And, like, I forget that game we played that had the ninjas walking through the palace, where you can sit there and say, I'm just going in the other direction. I'm going to crack that open.
The name of that game is Ninja.
That's what's called. Okay. Okay. So it's not even the ninja game. It's just Ninja. Obviously, Ghost Stories is way more popular than that game. I imagine there's more people that play Ghost Stories in any given week than people that even know Ninja exists. It was not this huge game.
But you know the great thing about Ninja?
Go ahead.
It comes with clay poker chips.
But you at least get to put your own personality into the game. And this game is not a put your own personality into the game.
It's called Ghost Story, but there really wasn't a story to it.
Yeah.
It's
just a horde mode.
Yeah. I don't think that it... There's no memorable
moment. It's tower defense. Yeah.
Without the upgrades.
So we got the furthest attempt about two-thirds of the way to the big bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw him. Or her in this instance.
Right. And we had all the slots filled and the full onslaught coming on. So,
mm-hmm. So you miss killing one ghost and it starts a backslide. And then a couple times not killing. I mean, you had a couple rolls. I had a couple rolls. And
I think each character, so they each have their own kind of ability. And that kind of dictates how they're meant to be played. So blue has the option to either use multiple of a tile or attack multiple times, or their other option is to do both in a turn. Green gets to reroll dice or use extra dice. Yellow gets free tile tokens, or
I think
there was a marker that can be used to hobble ghosts. And red's movement is he gets to move anywhere or move other people. So you kind of have to figure out how you're meant to use those abilities to the best every turn, or you start to backslide.
Right. So actively don't put your own personal
touch on it.
Right.
You have to work
in the
best interest of the
group. The way the game wants to be played, or you're going to get nuked.
And the only real choices you get is when you pull a ghost, what slot you want to put them in, where you kind of want to put the weaker ghosts in corners where multiple ghosts can die.
Now everybody knows how to play.
Well, you know, when the rules are written this poorly, you gotta help them.
I get that, fair point.
And then there's some high health ghosts that you just kind of have to get tokens for
against.
And bring your best friend with and try to get rid of, and you usually get a reward.
Sometimes.
And if too many of them get on the board, it's not great.
No, and that last ghost we pulled just ended the game instantly.
Yes.
Because it comes out haunting a square. And
we were down to one.
Yeah. Well,
one to spare. Yeah. So that was the end of that. But that's, and that's, you know, so if it hadn't been that, I mean, there's a lot of ghosts on the board right now. It would have been something. So
I think I'd rather have ghost out there than the cursed die, because the cursed die, I lost mm-hmm. 3 health. I lost all my tokens mm-hmm. at one time.
It can haunt tiles for you.
Right, it takes out attack. Some of them take out attack dice too. Some of the real bad cards.
And, yeah.
So
early on, I was actually having a lot of fun. Right. Interestingly enough, right.
When you feel like you're doing well and you're clearing out ghosts. Well, no,
I mean, even in the original games, like I said, I like cooperative games, especially when they are, like, I mean, you know, to not, you know, harp on Deep Rock Galactic, right? But when we played Deep Rock Galactic, there was that constant tension, the bugs pouring out of the walls. Right, but we all had our, you know, ways to deal with the problems, right?
It's a lot more, yeah, it's a lot of freedom of movement.
Right, there's a lot of freedom of movement, right? And it's like the pressure was always on, right? But here, and so I like those games where the pressure is constantly on. You gotta figure it out. But in this game, no room for error. There's no sense of momentum, and that once that became sort of clear to I don't know, my enjoyment began to flag, because I did like the relentless pace, but it just felt like there was also almost no way to keep up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt challenging, but I never really thought we had a chance to kind of break through that.
I think it's a bit like a puzzle game.
Oh, yeah. There's almost a solved way to play this.
And straight up at you, I mean, your head was clearly in this a lot longer than mine. You asked me a couple times, because you okay? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm a little tired. But besides that, there was a point again early on where I took the glasses off and set them down on the table. I said, you know, I don't really need these, because if I just sit here long enough, the other three guys will tell what the best move is, and I'll just do it. So, and at that point, I'm like, well, once my brain has gotten to that point,
are you even playing the game?
It's kind of over, yeah. So, and then, you know, I enjoy your company and all that. So it's, you know, sure beats, you know, sitting home and doing my income tax, but you know, it's just not a, that's where I end up on this sort of game. And it's not a ghost story things. And from, you know, what I can tell, just kind of, you know, reading forums and the like, is people tend to think this is one of the best co-op games, and co-op games have just never seemed to really grab me and work for me. So I suppose that's a big part of it.
The language and the rules made it difficult to get through.
Don't know what my other power really is.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of power.
You
rules,
get two
confusion.
Exorcisms.
But that also could maybe be ruled as a reroll, or yeah. It's,
yeah. What does that mean?
Feels phrased poorly, especially compared to
one of the
green abilities.
Referring this as an exorcism. When you're a dude with a sword in your hand, I'm pretty sure that's not how exorcisms typically work.
Like a Kanaba.
They're magic swords or holy swords or something. Mm. That's what Shaolins have, right?
I don't know. I thought they
had bows, but they don't exorcise things with it. They kill them. So, but I suppose they have to do something. Maybe that was lost in translation as well.
I think Ghost Story, like I said, failed to produce a story. When we play like Shadows over Camelot, there's stories in that. I mean,
yeah, they should just call it ghosts.
Yeah.
That's what it's ghost,
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 ghost storm, ghost,
ghosts
hurricane.
Coming from everywhere. Yeah,
ghost tornado. I think you talk about
like
shark.
I was gonna say like sharknado, ghostnado.
So, Ed, why don't you give us that
yeah,
rating?
Watch the most recent Kung Fu movie.
Yeah. Well, now we've watched.
Two minutes of Way of the Fist, or was. It counts.
I would describe this as a spectral seven, right? In that you know, it's you know, this very like ethereal seven. It's not like a strong
can't
seven.
Touch it.
It's not solid, you know, or corporeal. It's just vaguely a seven.
And for the record, I think it's Belgian.
Okay.
Wow. I'm disappointed in their English translation skills. That's.
Yeah, there was something that had a couple different languages.
There was something a little sweet about it.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what they were.
I liked the sense of relentless pressure that they brought. I thought that was well done because I enjoy that in a co-op game. I just think where it struggled was, as we harped upon this whole time,
pacing.
It never felt like you stood a chance. Yeah.
You know what this game needs?
How would you fit clay poker chips into this?
Sam.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that may be
Sam's dream game. You have to optimize it. And I mean, he would be sitting there, you do this, you do this, you do this, and we'd be like,
he is so desperate for project management.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, we won, guys, and we're like, yes.
Yeah, that's great.
We didn't mention there's a score system in this, and we didn't keep track of any of our scores.
No, but on the score sheet, dead.
On the score sheet was what can only be
failed.
A win that we played with Samuel 6 years ago.
Yeah,
because it has
14 points, which was not a stunner.
It's not negative points, so it must have been a win.
You had 10 points for winning alone.
Yeah.
All right, Cody, what you got?
I got to say, I'd probably still play it again. I think we've figured it out.
With who?
Sam.
Sam.
Say goodbye to John.
Yeah.
Bring in Sam.
John might have to rotate
this
off
might
for
come
Sam.
To the May Game-a-thon.
Yeah, this could be like an four Ed, of us. Sam, myself.
It only takes like
20, 30
minutes. We remember how to play.
It did go very quickly.
Yes.
We lost very quickly.
Yes.
Multiple times.
We played three times.
Yeah, in a couple hours. And then most of that was spent
trying
pouring
to figure it
over,
out,
the rules.
Over the rules. Mm-hmm.
But once we got the hang of that, it was moving. Turns were moving pretty quickly. I wasn't a huge fan of how the pacing felt where, yeah, once you kind of got behind, it didn't feel like there was an option to get forward. Like even like the special tokens you can use didn't feel like quite enough to overcome those kind of obstacles. So I got to give it a pretty low 7 for me, but it's still enjoyable.
Mm, okay.
So I think the game had its moments. There was a few, but it didn't really evolve into anything that like felt like we were picking up the pace or that we had a chance. It's so overwhelming. It's so in your face, doom and gloom all the time. You're always trying to like put your finger in the dam to stop something, but then there's another two cracks someplace else. So it was. I enjoy that to a point, but I want to feel like I have a chance to win. I want to feel like there's going to be some type of a victory. And I remember that one time that we did play and we did actually win with it. It was such a satisfying feeling, but I kind of wondered, did we like do it the right way? Did we like screw something up? I don't know. I would play this game again too. So
if only to beat it.
Yes.
Yeah,
I want to
punch this game in the face.
Yeah,
just to show that it can be done. Yes.
Well, maybe
on.
That's why we haven't played it in 10 years because you did beat it. And we're like, okay, that's good. Throw it up in the corner.
Six years ago, we played it and we won. Apparently, so yeah. Maybe that is.
I get the feeling we got some rules wrong in our favor.
Yeah, probably happened. So I just with the overwhelmingness stuff, I feel like I just got like slimed. So, I mean, the ghost just hit me in the face.
Is that copywritten?
Yeah, and you know, so none of these people in this town particularly. So it's like, okay, so the ghost overwhelmed the town. You know, we just pack up, take our asses on out of here, move on to the next town, and everything would be fine. So, from a thematic perspective, there's nothing here. You know, if they put a picture of like a little kid on the tile that somehow, you know, brought you food that gave you strength or something, you go, okay, so, you know, the kid, that's cool. Maybe I'm here to save the kid. And, you know, the people on the tiles just don't seem to excite me terribly much. And the art is fine, I suppose. It's not my kind of thing. But so I just found I had trouble emotionally investing in the game. I think mechanically there's probably a 7 here. I'm not a fan of... Just when you think it couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. Yeah, I'm not good for that. That just doesn't work for me so well. So just the package in general, like I said, in a game like this, especially when everybody knows everything that's on the table, and I know that if I just lean back, everybody else is going to help me take my turn, and I don't need to think about this anymore, and I can go on to thinking about other things. And that's a bad sign. That means that I'm not emotionally invested in what's going on the board. And if you're not emotionally invested, it doesn't matter how good or how bad a game is. If you're not in... It ain't working. And that's just where I found myself, is I just was not emotionally a part of the package. And at that point, I start thinking about things like, how come they didn't put a picture of a kid on one of the tiles? Why did they use the colors with? You know, it's like, well, that's a bad sign. That means I'm thinking about the wrong thing. So if I accidentally don't manage to get in on this one when we get together in May, that would be a shame. But I'll understand if you guys decide to play anyway. So
you wouldn't be upset if we added Sam in your spot?
That would be fine.
John's sick that morning.
That would be fine. And I think
John's playing Illimat.
Yeah, well, let's talk about another game another game where the more you play it and the smarter you get at it, suddenly the game changes a whole lot. And I get the feeling with this, we were just getting to the point where we were understanding that all this time we weren't necessarily actively fighting the game, but we weren't playing the game the way it was supposed to be
played. It's a cooperative game that we were all trying to play individually.
And put
our own spin on it.
Once you start figuring out how the game wants to be played, I get the feeling things get much easier. And that's why we have not been defeating this game. And I think if you played the game two more times, you'd be like, okay, the blue guy does this, the red guy does this, the yellow guy does this, and the green guy goes this. And then bing, 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 and you start hitting your marks, and that's the end of it.
Yeah,
that's just not a terribly exciting play as far as I'm concerned.
I think I just figured it out.
Just put all the pieces together in your head.
I'm pretty sure it's coming out in
May. You need to hold that for one month because we're going to sit down when you guys can play this again in May.
Yeah, John, don't say we.
Yeah. And I'll play Maria, or I'll play something else, and everybody can have fun.
So your rating on this was?
I said mechanically, I think there's a 7 here, that it just doesn't. The overall package for me, I can appreciate that people that enjoy co-op games would like something like this. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And Chris, I don't think we got a number out of you.
No, it was just a slimy, sticky 7.
Okay, yep, there it is.
Yeah. I mean, I like the little pieces. I like the ghost. I like the way that they're leaning forward. And, you know, the pieces could have a little bit more individualism, like the monks that we're playing. They're all exactly the same. They're just different colors. So that feels kind of lazy to me. I'd like to see maybe a story, like, why is it that they get this special, and why is it that you know.
Well, that means more molds, right? And that means more cost. And this was pre-Kickstarter, when you couldn't simply, you know, charge $800 for this game and people would buy it anyway.
Well, maybe it needs to be Kickstarted again and you can add those special
Ghost
little characters.
Ghost Stories version 2. That's what this game
edition
needs, is to happen a second time.
And maybe it'll have a story.
And yes. Maybe the rules
maybe
will
have
make
an
sense.
English language.
Ghost Stories, the next village over.
Yeah, a little better localization would be good.
So have we kicked this one around enough? Or?
I think so.
Right. Yeah, we'll see it again in May.
I don't really know if there's that much. There's that much to say about this.
Yeah,
What?
Oh my gosh!
I don't think
perfect timing on that clock back there.
I don't think it's gonna pick up on the mic.
Yeah, it might a little bit.
Well, for those that can't hear, the Ghostbusters theme song just came on
every hour.
Chris's every clock hour every hour.
Very this is like the fifth time tonight we've heard it.
Sitting here getting killed.
See, that's the fourth time we've heard it. So it was the first time when I turned it on, and then every hour it's been playing.
Yeah.